Sister Laura. That was beautiful. I don't suppose that there has ever been an earthly relationship where one person didn't let the other person down at some time, you know, in some way. But, you know, I'm sure that children, you know, can think of a way in some way that their parents let them down. Parents, their children let them down in some way. Husbands, wives, any earthly relationship. But I believe that for God's people, we can say with surety, God has never let us down. God has never discouraged me in any way. God has never done anything in my life where I would look and say, well, he failed me in that. His faithfulness is that great, and I'm thankful for that. I want to call your attention to some scripture found in the 11th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And I want to begin reading with verse 19, Acts chapter 11, beginning with verse 19. And I want to ask for your prayers tonight. I feel a great burden upon my heart to speak about this. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phinehas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And I'm going to stop my reading there with verse 26. And I made this announcement this morning, and I said that this is something that I really don't remember if I've ever done this or not, but I told the church this morning, if the Lord was willing, that I was going to address the subject tonight, the question, what is a Christian? And this is a word, that a term that you hear quite often in our society today. People talk about, you know, how that America once was much more of a Christian nation than what we are today. You hear people talk about someplace being a Christian business. Now, a business can't really be a Christian, but, you know, a business can be run by people who are. So this term, Christian, is something that we commonly hear. But in the Bible, that's not the case. In fact, in its plural form, Christians, to the best of my knowledge, this is the only verse in the Bible here in Acts 11 and 26. This is the only verse in the Bible that you find the word Christians. And the word Christian in singular form is only found twice in the scriptures, both of them in the New Testament. Agrippa used this term when Paul was witnessing to him, and Agrippa said, "Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And the Apostle Peter used it once in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. The Apostle Peter said, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." And so this word Christian that, as I said, is used many times in our society today was not at all a common term in the scriptures. Jesus, to the best of my knowledge, never referred to his people as Christian. But as I said, today it's commonly used. The disciples in the 11th chapter of Acts were read in the 26th verse. It doesn't tell us, and I believe this is worthy of us to note, that verse doesn't tell us that in Antioch they begin to call themselves Christians. What it says is that they were first called Christians in Antioch. And I've heard the word Christian defined. I've actually heard several define the word Christian as to be Christian is to be Christ-like. But in my studies, I haven't found that to be the definition of Christian. The Greek word that it was taken from means followers of Christ. So a Christian, and I believe that that's the reason there in Antioch that the disciples were called Christians, is because they were followers of Christ. They spoke of Christ. They testified of Christ. They testified of salvation through Christ. They tried to live according to his word. They followed his teachings. And so they were called Christians because they were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that another thing that's very important for us to take note of is that the Bible doesn't tell us here that it was just anybody that was called Christians. It was the disciples that were called Christians. And so we need to know what a disciple is. And Jesus gave us, much teaching on that. And I'm just going to summarize what the Lord taught about that in the Gospels. According to the teachings of Jesus, a disciple is someone that denied themselves, that took up their cross on a daily basis and followed after Jesus. In fact, the Lord said, "If any man come unto me and does not deny himself, he cannot be my disciple." And the Lord also taught that a disciple was somebody that loved Jesus more than they loved their self, more than they loved their father, more than they loved their mother, more than they loved their siblings, more than they loved houses, more than they loved land. In other words, a disciple was somebody that loved Jesus more than they loved anything or anybody. And so these were the type of people that the Bible was talking about when it says the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch, or they were labeled as those who were following after Christ. They were people that had sacrificed. They were people that had given up things in order to do the Lord's will and to do His work. Now, a lot of times, I'm afraid today, and I've made this statement before, and I'll stand by it, but I'm afraid a lot of times today what we desire is service without cost. We desire service without sacrifice. But that's never been the way of serving the Lord, has it? Those who have faithfully served the Lord have given up things. And again, Jesus said that you have to do that in order to be a disciple. Now, we all, I believe, because of the nature of Adam that we have in the flesh, we all want to take care of ourselves. We all want to look out for ourselves. But the Bible teaches us that that's not how the children of God are to live. We are to not look every man on his own things, but on the things of others. And so there's a lot to be said about the term or the word Christian. Now, today in our society, and I guess this is what really burdens my heart, in the world that we live in today, the word Christian is used very casually. Very casually. Do you know that there are people that will lie to you and turn right around and tell you that they're a Christian? You know, I'm going to give you an example. We have people from time to time that stop by the church and they want us to help them. Well, you know, I believe that we ought to help those that need help. I do. I believe we ought to help the poor. I believe we ought to help those that are in need. And, the Bible tells us that if somebody really is in need and we turn our hearts away from them, that's not the exact words, but if we don't help them, John asked the question, how dwelleth the love of God in you? And so, we need to help people. But there are people in the world that will say, I'm a Christian, in order to gain an advantage for themselves. And again, I'm going to give you an example. You know, if you're traveling from Indianapolis to Dayton, Ohio, you don't pass through Bowling Green, Kentucky. But we've had people, I remember an incident where a man came here to our church one time, and he stopped and he said he needed money because he was trying to get somewhere, and he told us where he left from and where he was going to. And somehow, when he got right in front of Fairview Memorial, he needed money. And the place that he left from and the place that he told us that he was going to wasn't anywhere close. You wouldn't have even come through Bowling Green, Kentucky. But people will say that, and then in order to gain an advantage, they'll say, oh, and by the way, I am a Christian. Well, it's not the actions of a Christian to just lie to somebody in order to get money, is it? But people will do that. people will do that to gain an advantage. And there are people that will use that term in a lot of other ways, just to gain an advantage somehow for themselves. There are people in our country today, and I know this for a fact because I've read their testimonies about it. There are people that live in our country today that live vile lives. They live lives that the Bible condemns, and yet they say, I am a Christian. But now, I want to again go back to what was said here in the 11th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Well, actually, I want to go to the second chapter of Acts for just a moment and look at verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Well, actually, I'm going to begin reading verse 41. This is the chapter that tells us about the great events that took place at Pentecost when 3,000 souls were saved and added to the church. And in verse 41, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Let's read it again. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now these people that the second chapter of Acts speaks about here, continuing steadfastly in the things of the Lord, they are the same people that we read about in the 11th chapter of Acts, in the verse 26, where we are told that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And I believe that there was something that they saw in those people that made them call those people Christians. I believe that there were certain characteristics about them. There were certain actions. There were certain, there was a way that they talked. There was a way that they lived. There were things that they did, things they testified of from day to day, that those people beheld, those who were looking on beheld, and they called them Christians. They said, these people are followers of Christ and of his teachings. Surely they must have known something about him. They must have known something about Christ. They must have known something about the Lord and his teachings in order to be able to say, these people follow him. They emulate him. They follow after the things that Christ taught. Now, let me say this. It's far better for somebody to look at you and me. It's far better if someone can see the way that we live and say that person is a Christian. It's a lot better if that happens than it is for you and I to go around and tell people, I'm a Christian. In fact, if we have to tell people, hey, I'm a Christian, if we have to tell them that, then something is wrong. they ought to be able to make that assessment themselves from the way that we conduct ourselves, from the way that we live from day to day. If it's your neighbor living next door to you, or if it's the people that you work with or go to school with, or whatever that it may be, if you're a child of God, those around you should be able to make that determination themselves and say, well, truly, that person is a Christian. They are a follower of Christ. Now, I read something the other day that just pretty much turned my stomach, to be honest with you. But I read about people who were complaining because there were people that they felt were not being fair to the homosexual Christians. Now, if you don't think that that type of thinking is prevalent in our society, you're living in a corner somewhere, because it is. I read something of a young man who, trying to defend his own sinful life, was from the scriptures, was trying to say that God's word does not condemn that type of lifestyle. His reasoning was that what is said about it in the Old Testament is no longer valid because of the way that the Hebrew letter talks about the Old Covenant being ready to decay or ready to pass away, and there being a new covenant. Well, that's just not true. That's a very wrong and dangerous way to interpret the scriptures. The moral law of God is just as valid today as it was in the day that He gave it to Moses. The Ten Commandments are just as valid among us today as they were in Old Testament times. And if somebody is going to look at the law, and he was talking about some of the Levitical laws about people involved in same-sex relationships. But if somebody is going to use that approach, then they just may as well say it's okay today to steal what your neighbor has. It's okay today, today in the day we live in, it's no longer necessary to honor your father and your mother. Well, that's ridiculous, isn't it? The Bible teaches us in both the Old Testament and the New Testament that it's wrong to live that way. And so their terminology of a homosexual Christian cannot be valid. It would be the same thing as you and I saying, listen, let's be sure that we don't say anything to anybody about drunkenness, even though the Bible says wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Even though the Bible condemns drunkenness, let's not say anything about it because we may offend the drunkard Christians if we do. Let's not say anything about adultery. Let's not say anything about people being unfaithful to their spouse, because if we do, we may offend the adulterous Christians. That's not a Christian. And, you know, to me, even though the word is not used many times in the Bible, to me, this is a very special word. You know, when somebody says, well, that person's a Christian, it ought to mean something. It ought to mean something. And it's a word because the first part of the word is Christ. And we should not, nobody, and we don't, but nobody should connect Christ with any of those vile sins. And there should not be anybody, but I believe that this just shows us how hard the devil is at work. And folks, I know that we all are aware of this, but this is happening around us, not just in the world, not just among unchurched people. It's not just among people that say, I don't want to have anything to do with any kind of religion whatsoever. This way of thinking has taken hold in assemblies in our nation that call themselves churches. It has taken, it has got a foothold among people of other denominations. You can read about it in the newspaper. I'm not telling you anything secret. You can read about it. You can hear it on the news, how that, you know, different denominations of people who call themselves churches say, well, this is okay. I read an article several years ago in the Indianapolis Star, and I don't remember really what they were, but it was some kind of church. And they actually published it in the newspaper. They were having some kind of big convention or some kind of big meeting, and they chose a certain place to meet. They rented some big hall or something to get together and have their meeting because they wanted to drink. And they said they really didn't think that they should do that in their church buildings. So they rented this big place to meet together. I'll tell you what, there's things going on around us that, like I said, are not just part of the lives of people that that don't care anything about any kind of religion, but in the society of religion, people are pushing these things. We got a big battle. Because you know what I believe that we ought to do? I believe that we ought to stand up for the Lord. And when somebody says, you know, I'm a Christian, and they're living a lifestyle that doesn't resemble being a follower of Christ at all, we need to stand up for the Lord. We are becoming what's the word I'm looking for? We are becoming the select few quicker and quicker all the time, aren't we? I mean, people that really want to live for the Lord, people that really want to follow Christ and follow His teachings and try to live their lives in a way that not necessarily, as I said, that they would make the boast that I'm a Christian, but to live their lives in a way that other people could look at them and say, there is a Christian person, that type of person, we become fewer and fewer all the time. But there's something very special, I believe, to what happened here. I believe there was something very special in what the Apostle Peter said about it. Don't let anybody suffer. Don't let any of us, any of God's people, suffer as a murderer. Don't let any of us suffer as a thief. Don't let any of us suffer as an evildoer. But if any man suffer as a Christian, if any of us suffer because that we follow after the Lord Jesus Christ and we try to adhere to His teachings and live our lives according to His Word, if we suffer because of that, then let us not be ashamed. I hope, I really pray that we will not be ashamed to suffer for the Lord, because I'm convinced that it's coming. I'm convinced that it's right on our doorstep. The Apostle Peter said, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that. Listen, I know there may be questions in your mind. I know when you see these things that I've been talking about, when you're exposed to these things around you that I've been talking about, I know that there might be questions in your mind. Where is this heading? How is this going to affect us? What's this going to do to us? I'll tell you what, unless you go somewhere and dig a hole and live in it, I don't think you're going to get away from it, because it becomes more mainstream all the time. So we're exposed to these things. But let me say this. To suffer, whatever that it is, you know, if you're rejected, if you're just completely rejected by the people you work with, if they just won't have a thing to do with you because you follow Christ and His teachings, and you know what? They ought to know. They ought to know whether you do or not. If they won't talk to you, if your classmates won't talk to you, or if you actually are physically persecuted for the Lord, let me tell you this. It's an honor. It's an honor to suffer for the Lord. You know, I don't think that there's anybody that you would talk to that would just stand up and say, well, I'd sure be glad to have my head cut off. But you know what Paul said just before he lost his? The time of my departure is at hand. I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, Paul wasn't just saying that he had been, that he had always exercised faith in the Lord. He said, I have maintained God's standards. I have stood by His Word. I've preached His truth. And I'm ready to be offered. that was his last writing to Timothy. And not long after that, he suffered that very thing. He was martyred. He was beheaded. He said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me, and not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. People go around and they say, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian. Look at me, I'm a Christian. And their lives have nothing to do with Christ. The disciples, not the wicked people of the world, not people in religion that thought God's word was obsolete and that things needed to be changed and that we need to become a little bit more acceptable of things. Not those kind of people. The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. It's a word. It's a title. That ought to mean something. It ought to mean something very special. Now, you know, if somebody wants to accuse me of hate, they can. I don't hate anybody. I'd like to see everybody get saved. But if somebody wants to accuse me of hate, they can, but I just don't believe there's any such thing as homosexual Christians. I don't believe there's any such thing as adulterous Christians. I don't believe there's any such thing as thieving Christians or murdering Christians, because those things just don't go together. Now, there may be people who are saved, and there have been people who are saved that have been guilty of some hideous sins. And you know, whenever that happens to a person, they need to repent of that right then and get rid of it. But to live a life that just blatantly defies the teachings of God's word and then turn around and say, these people are Christians, I don't believe it. And I would... to be honest with you, it bothers me greatly that there's people that live in this country that can feel that way about it. You know, that can live a life that's just against the Word of God and profess to be a Christian. They just don't go together. We need to live our lives where people can look at us and say, well, that person, they're Christian. They're Christian. I appreciate your attention.